get my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. I'm your co-host today, Dr. Mike Akinfor, and we're here today to support our good friend Dave Asprey and the release of his new book, Headstrong. As many of you know, Dave was on both of our online summits, the Pain Relief Project back in 2014 and the Longevity and Anti-Aging Project in 2015. So in support of Dave, we have released our interview for the Longevity and Anti-Aging Project with Dave. I hope you enjoy the interview. Please go out to your local and global booksellers and purchase Headstrong. There's links in the show notes, and have a great day. Enjoy the interview, everybody. Ciao. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Longevity and Anti-Aging Project. I'm your co-host, Dr. Mike Akinfora. Today, I have with me Dave Asprey. Dave, how are you?
I'm great, Mike.
It's great to have you on the program. I'm just going to read Dave's bio, and we're going to get right into it. Dave Asprey, founder of Bulletproof Executive, is a Silicon Valley investor and technology entrepreneur who spent two decades and over $300,000 to hack his own biology. Dave lost 100 pounds without counting calories or excessive exercise, used techniques to upgrade his IQ, and lowered his biological age while learning to sleep more efficiently in less time. Learning to do these seemingly impossible things transformed him into a better entrepreneur, a better husband, and a better father. Dave is the creator of the widely popular Bulletproof Coffee, host of the radio show and number one health podcast, Bulletproof Radio, and author of New York Times bestselling book, The Bulletproof Diet. Through his work, Dave provides information, techniques, and keys to taking control of and improving your biochemistry, your body, and your mind so that they work in unison, helping you execute at levels far beyond what you expect without burning out, getting sick, or allowing stress to control your decisions. Dave opened the first Bulletproof Cafe and shop in Santa Monica, California in July 2015. His Bulletproof Films released the company's first documentary film, Moldy, in June 2015. And his new book, Bulletproof, The Cookbook, was released in December of 2015 as well. Dave, for the people who don't know your background story, can you tell people about your journey?
Sure. I was old when I was young. I had arthritis in my knees when I was 14 years old. I hit 300 pounds in my fourth year of my undergrad studies, and I was always obese as a kid, varying levels of weight. Like I remember in ninth grade, I lost 30 pounds over the summer and gained it back over the winter. And you know, if you're in ninth grade, having 30-pound weight fluctuations, like something's broken in your biology. I made $6 million when I was 26 years old in Silicon Valley, which was amazing. I lost it when I was 28, so it was only temporarily amazing. But when I was 26, I suddenly had this influx of financial success that was unimaginable. I come from a middle-class background and went to a public school and all that, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is pretty crazy. Only one problem, I wouldn't hire myself because my brain isn't working. I actually bought disability insurance because I was so tired and I couldn't remember what I was doing in meetings. And I ended up having an influential position in a company and I was running at full speed, like maximum output, maximum capacity all the time. And I couldn't keep up. And it's not that life was too fast. It was that when I put my personal power and energy to play, no matter how much I had the accelerator pressed to the floor, I wasn't getting the power out of the engine. I wasn't getting the acceleration. And it was frustrating and a little bit scary. So I decided this was the most important thing I could do. I had already tried extreme diets. I could lose weight on, you know, 400 calorie a day, liquid diet stuff, but it always would come back and then some. And I decided I'd go down to about 1800 calories a day. I would cut my fat and I worked out an hour and a half a day for 6 days a week. I figured that'll do it. I'm going to put everything into this. After 18 months of that, I could bench press all of my friends while they ate French fries and I ate the salad, but I was still fat. I had stretch marks since I was 16. I've also had chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, toxic mold exposure, which I made the documentary about, documented Lyme disease and Hashimoto's thyroiditis and all these things that you're supposed to get when you're old. And here it is, I'm in my mid-20s. So I did what any red-blooded 25-year-old egotistical multimillionaire for a year or two anyway guy would do, is I went out to a local anti-aging nonprofit group in Silicon Valley. This group has been meeting for almost 25 years, 4 minutes from Google's headquarters, before Google existed, actually. And I got to know the people there. And for the past 12 or so years, I've been a leader of that organization. It's called the Silicon Valley Health Institute. And that let me get to know what we now call functional medicine providers. And it let me know that I should be going to the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. In fact, 12 years ago, I met my wife at A4M. And I'm a tech guy. I'm an engineer. I'm actually a hacker. My last Silicon Valley job was a VP of cloud security at a publicly traded security company. Like, I really studied my whole life and my whole academic career. And how do you control a complex system when you don't know everything about it? Because that's what the internet is. Someone else controls most of it, but you still have to do what you're going to do. Well, I think our body is the same way. And so much of modern medicine has taken a reductionist approach where, well, I only know about kidneys. I'm like, well, unfortunately, your kidneys affect your brain. And I set about as a hacker saying, what can I do to make my brain absolutely work all the time? And it turns out when you do that, your pants are probably going to fit better too. And eventually I just applied all these anti-aging techniques towards myself as a young man and found out, that's funny, things that make old people young again make younger people perform better, and it keeps us from getting old as well. So I've made a lifelong practice since my mid-20s of doing everything possible to perform better and age better. So it's not about, you know, maxing it out, burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. I did that when I was very young. But it's more about making sure that if I'm going to burn the candle at all, that it burns super clean and with maximum efficiency. And what I found is that I have a lot more capacity than I ever imagined. And the fact that I'm aging less quickly, at least I like to think I am, is gravy rather than the goal.
That's a amazing story. And we've talked about it before. My story is very similar. As I would say, I was a biscuit away from 300 pounds. And when you have a wife that is a pastry chef, somebody has to be the taste tester. And I was perfect for that job.
The things we do for our marriages, I feel your pain.
Truly, truly. It's been a night and day experience. In my younger days, like yourself, I thought that I could exercise my way back to health. And, well, that really didn't work either. So I understand acutely what you're saying. So let me ask you a question. What are the coolest anti-aging hacks that you're experimenting with right now as a biohacker?
Well, I talk about publicly spending $300,000 over 10 or so years. Over the last couple of years, I've put in a $500,000 facility in my backyard that's specifically dedicated to hacking the human body. And it has a cryotherapy chamber in it. This is powered by liquid nitrogen. And you stand in a little closet-like thing. It chills the air to 260 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. And you stand there mostly naked, except for gloves and shoes, and at least for us men, a little pair of underwear. And you basically freeze your ass off, I think is the technical term. And what this does is profound. It releases endorphins. So you feel really good, and it's not nearly as cold as jumping in a cold swimming pool, because it's cold air, not cold water. But it tells your body that there's almost certainly an ice age coming, and it should make some changes in the mitochondria of your body. It actually moves the shape of the mitochondria so that they're more efficient. It triggers your body to burn hundreds and hundreds more calories, almost as if you'd exercised, and it makes you grow brown fat, which is energy producing thermogenic fat instead of white fat, which is the stuff that jiggles when you walk. So we're talking 3 minutes, and it's just a profound effect. And I have a whole laboratory full of other equipment that does things that are not supposed to be possible. And what I'm finding is that some of these things, we've known about the effects for a while, but because of regulatory constraints or fear, that people don't take advantage of them. Another one that's just coming up is using high-power LEDs, whether they're red or infrared, to change what's happening inside the body. In my case, since 1997, I've had a high-powered LED that you shine on your brain that absolutely increases mitochondrial function and increases blood flow and stimulates nitric oxide. I mean, this is going back almost 20 years, and only now are we hearing people finally talk about this. The science was solid back then. We didn't know what it would do if you shined it on your head, but we did know that when you shine infrared light of a certain frequency on your cells, they make energy more effectively. So you can do this, and a lot of the practices that I do are around mitogenesis, or growing new mitochondria, or making the mitochondria I have stronger, or frankly, killing the mitochondria I have that are weak, so they'll be replaced. I'm probably not the strongest mitochondria person on earth, because I lived in several houses with Stachybotrys, with toxic mold in them, which is a direct mitochondrial poison. So I've been in the process of basically killing the weakened mitochondria and replacing them with much stronger ones. And I do that with supplements, with food, with sleep, with temperature, with light, with unusual forms of exercise, with oxygen deprivation or oxygen excess, and all these things the body is capable of, most of which are adaptive to the environment and most of which are not available via Mother Earth. So there's nowhere on Earth 260 degrees below zero. But if we were in an ice age or an extreme winter climate, we would adapt over time. I'm just giving my body a really big signal, so it doesn't have much choice but to listen. And when it listens, it adapts in the way that I want. And that is the ethos behind biohacking, which is a term that I popularized. And the definition of biohacking when I first wrote it was it's changing the environment around you and inside you so that you have full control of your biology. So you can do whatever you want. Like, you could just use it to binge watch Breaking Bad on Netflix if that's what you want to do. But like, you have all this energy, you can do whatever you want with it. But if the energy is locked in your cells, or even worse, your body stores all this energy as extra fat instead of using it because it's getting the wrong signal from the environment, you might want to fix that, because you're going to like how you feel when you do it.
I love that. Let's just back up for a second. Why is mitochondrial function so important for people who might not know, Dave?
Sure. The mitochondria are power plants in your cells. And in fact, my next book that'll come out in about a year is about mitochondria. And this has been the main target of my hacks for a long time, because I needed more energy. I wanted more energy. And everyone has these things in our cells. And surprisingly, more people know about photosynthesis, which is how plants make energy, than people know about mitochondria, which is how we make energy. So a plant takes sunlight and carbon dioxide and turns it into energy. And what we do is we take sugar, or it turns out fat, and we combine those with oxygen in our mitochondria in order to make something called ATP. Then we use the ATP, and then we recycle the ATP. And these are, think of them like little engines in your cells. If your engines run really clean and they function well and they're efficient, then you have a lot of energy. And this is the energy to be you, literally the energy of your thoughts. You have more mitochondria in the front of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, than anywhere else in your body. You have the second most mitochondria in your cardiac system, in your heart. And almost every one of the cells in your body, there's a few types that don't, but most of them have these little power plants. You have about 6 seconds worth of ATP, that precious fuel in your body, and then you run out. So you're constantly making it, burning it. If you look at the chronic diseases of aging, almost all of them happen when your mitochondria get weak, whether we're talking Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer, very specifically cancer, type 2 diabetes, all of these have connections to your body's innate ability to make energy in different organs. So if you turn up the efficiency of this, you reduce your risk of almost every type of aging-related disease you can have. And if you look at the core theories of aging themselves, mitochondrial decline is one of the five main theories about how we age. So it seems to me that having more energy now and aging more slowly is more effective than trying to get old and then restore youth. I'd rather just keep the youth, which means keeping those mitochondria happy.
Absolutely. So for regular people without a lot of money to spend on self-experimenting and biohacking, what are the top anti-aging hacks or practices that they can implement right away?
One of the most important ones is stress. And now, in the last 4 or 5 years, since I started blogging specifically, there's been so many people writing, oh, stress is bad, stress is bad. That's not actually true. Chronic stress is bad and will burn you out. But if you have a life of no stress, you're not going to like what happens to your mitochondria anyway. So one of the easiest hacks you can do is brief bouts of targeted stress. And one of the easiest things is stop doing this excessive cardio thing that is not shown in most studies. There are a few that say it's good, but the majority of studies are like, oh, it isn't producing the benefits that were promised. What does produce powerful benefits hormonally and in your mitochondria is something called high-intensity interval training. So instead of going for a 5-mile jog, instead you go for 10 to 15 minutes of 1-minute sprints or 2-minute sprints. Now, if you're like most people listening, if you sprint like a tiger's chasing you for 2 minutes and then you wait for 1 minute, then you sprint for 2 minutes, then you wait for 1 minute, you're not even going to make 15 minutes and you'll probably throw up. That's good. Not throwing up, but being able to not do 15 minutes. That is the kind of stress where your body's like, I think I'll adapt to this right now, because if you do that to me again, I'm probably going to throw up. But if you do this, I'm going to go for a jog, and you sort of push yourself at that level, it doesn't have the hormonal effects. You get the high impact on your joints and all, and you get a change in the ejection fraction of your heart. Unfortunately, it's a negative change. I'm not saying you shouldn't move. Every day, go for a walk, move around. But if you consider going for a walk at lunch to be exercise, no, you're just moving around. And moving around, getting some sunshine, those are anti-aging strategies. But if you wanted your mitochondria to respond, if you wanted to have stronger bones and stronger cells, you're going to do the sprint, or you're going to go to the gym. And instead of doing this ridiculous 1980s jazzercise-inspired routine where I'm just going to take a 5-pound weight and I'm just going to do like high repetitions. No. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You pick up the heaviest thing that you're capable of picking up and you move it using the right form as few times as you can in order to completely exhaust your muscles. In other words, picking up something heavy 5 times in a squat is going to do more for your bones, your tendons, and your mitochondria than picking up something light 200 times. So you save time and you cause positive change in your body. And this applies. It doesn't matter if you're 90 years old. Right? Remember, I've run an anti-aging nonprofit education and research group for more than a decade. It doesn't matter how old you are. You go to the gym and you do the big exercises, squats, bench presses, pull-ups. And if you need to do it with assistance or with a trainer, great. But you do the big movements and you don't do the sort of flopping around with a 2-pound dumbbell and little, you know, Velcro-powered wrist weights. That's just not what makes the body work, and it's not what powers those mitochondria. So that doesn't cost anything more than what your current exercise program is. Sprinting in the park is free. And if for you a sprint is a fast walk because you weigh 300 pounds the way I used to, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be pushing like a tiger is chasing you. You just hope it's a 3-legged obese tiger chasing you if you're not in shape yet.
So what else do you see as some of the hacks that people can do? That's a great one.
Here's another one that's free, and it sounds shocking, and it is for about 2 days. What you do is you take your nice hot shower in the morning, and then at the end of the shower, put it on cold. Let it splash in your face and your chest. Now, if you're like most people, you should scream when that happens the first time and go, oh my God, I'm going to die. That's good. You want your nervous system to think you're going to die, because you're not going to die. And what will happen is over a very short period of time, you do that even if you're only in there for 30 seconds, you can put it back on warm, then back on cold if you need to. Do that a few times. They call that a Russian shower. But even if you just finish your shower with 1 minute of cold water, it'll change the amount of energy that your body puts out throughout the day. And it calms a part of the body called the vagal nerve, or the vagus nerve, the vagal system. And what this does for you is it increases that fat burning all day long, and it positively affects the mitochondria in your body. This is sort of the junior version of that cryotherapy chamber that I have in my laboratory, where it's more efficient to be in air that's 260 degrees below zero, but water that's at 50 degrees or 60 degrees will also do something similar. You can also go for a swim in the cold pool or something like that. But you'll find if you do this every morning for just a week, that the quality of your day, the quality of your thinking, and the quality of your body changes. And if you just build that in, you'll sleep better at night because you did that. I mean, this is a free thing. All you have to do is turn a knob in the shower that you were going to turn anyway. And it is a meaningful anti-aging strategy. And if you just can't bear the thought of doing that, what you can do is you can get a bowl of ice water, a bowl like a salad bowl or a mixing bowl, and take a deep breath and stick your face in it. You'll probably last 10 seconds before you just feel pain. If you do that almost every night for a week or two, suddenly you'll find that when you freeze your face, that it calms your whole body down. It feels amazing and it doesn't hurt anymore. And you'll find positive shifts in the energy production in your body will happen as well. Like, these are free things. They should be in the operating manual for the human body. It's just when we're born, there really isn't one. But little things like that can make a huge difference on how your cells make energy. And when you make better energy, you're literally a better person. You're more of whoever you are.
You're getting to be the best version of yourself, so to speak. That's wonderful. Do you have one more for me for our audience, Dave?
Yeah. There's an alternate fuel source for people that is so incredibly important. And I was just talking with my buddy Mark Hyman, who's the director of functional medicine at the Cleveland Clinic. He wrote a quote for the Bulletproof Diet book. And there's a kind of oil that I use in my food in order to induce mild ketosis. And ketosis is a setting for your body that normally you access after 4 days of fasting or 4 days of eating no sugar, no starch. And sort of the Atkins or some forms of paleo are known for doing this. And if you've ever fasted for a couple of days or gone on one of these diets, you feel like just like crap for a couple of days. And then on the third or fourth day, you wake up and it's like someone turned the lights on and you feel better than normal. Your thoughts are clear, you're stable, you're even, and it's an exalted state. In fact, most meditating traditions have a period of fasting in order to induce this kind of energy. And what's going on there is that your body, when it has no more sugar to burn, it says, I guess I should burn fat. And when it burns fat, it makes energy in the cells in a way that's different than using sugar. This is via a ketone pathway. And ketones are associated with all sorts of things like anti-inflammation, antioxidants, with burning fat. And your brain, some parts of it prefer ketones to sugar. And some parts of your brain prefer sugar to ketones. So what happens when you can get ketones in your body is your brain has this different state available to it. And this is a state associated with anti-aging. There are people using ketosis diets for anti-cancer uses, people like Dominic D'Agostino. And there are people using ketone-based diets for Alzheimer's disease, people like Mary Newport. So I consider getting ketones some of the time to be absolutely critical. And in The Bulletproof Diet, the first big book that I wrote about the importance of having cyclical ketosis. In other words, sometimes you put your body in fat burning mode and sometimes you're in carbohydrate burning mode. Well, it turns out that the thing I'm most famous for, creating Bulletproof Coffee, it has three ingredients in it. And one of those ingredients is what can throw you into ketosis, at least mild ketosis, without the 4 days of fasting. And I consider that to be one of the easiest things you can do for an anti-aging benefit. And that oil is called brain octane. And Bulletproof Coffee is Bulletproof Coffee beans that are free of these mold toxins that inhibit mitochondrial function. It also is made with grass-fed butter instead of milk because milk sticks to the anti-aging polyphenols in coffee. And the final ingredient is brain octane oil, which is a rare extract of coconut oil. And this rare extract called brain octane converts in the body directly to ketones without going through all the normal fat digestion. So it's a rare form of fat that doesn't act like other fats in the body. And with this, when you add it to your food or you put it in your coffee in the morning, you end up being able to raise your blood levels of ketones enough that you feel a difference that first day for the vast majority of people. So if you've done these things, we're talking about high intensity interval training instead of just going for a walk. You only do that once or twice a week. That's all it takes. You can recover and sleep the rest of the time. Then you go into getting some cold exposure, whether it's a little bit of cold shower, putting some ice on your face. They sound like little things, but they're not. They're really big signals to the body. Oh my God, an ice age is coming. Better do something about that. We'll get stronger is what it does. And then you send it this other signal that says, oh, look, here's some energy from fat instead of sugar. And then the body adapts to that. And when you do those three things, you're like, okay, I'm not exactly sure what just happened. But I don't mean in months or, oh, look, I lost 1 pound every 2 weeks. None of that noise. If you're carrying a lot of extra weight, it melts off when you do these kind of techniques in ways that are almost unbelievable. Like you have to buy new pants every 2 weeks kind of ways. That's what happens when you do this. And I say that hundreds of thousands of people have read the Bulletproof Diet and they send me the results. And the number one result isn't, oh, I needed new pants. The number one result is, I can't believe my brain works like this, and I lost my food cravings right away. So all we're doing there is affecting your mitochondria. We're giving it a new fuel source with the Bulletproof coffee. We're giving them a signal that says get stronger and get tighter from the cold, and we're giving them a signal that says you better be ready to run away from a tiger at any time, so you need to get stronger and leaner. Those are big things, and none of those is more expensive than anything you do now. You're already drinking coffee. I'm suggesting Bulletproof coffee is a better choice. You're already exercising. High intensity, heavy lifting or sprinting is better than whatever you were doing before. And you were already taking a shower, and now you're just turning it to cold at the end. Like, these are not hard.
That cold shower is not hard unless you're in New Jersey in January.
Yeah, I live in Canada. I hear you there.
Could you – one of the other things that I got to tell you, I drink Bulletproof coffee every day. I also – part of that, could you talk about intermittent fasting?
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think that goes hand in hand with it.
In fact, that almost should be on that list. It's hard to know what to do. So when you look at how we evolved to eat, we evolved to not always have food. And what would normally happen is, oh, I missed that woolly mammoth. It ran away. So I guess I'm really hungry. What would normally happen is you would go into ketosis just for a little while until you found something else to eat. And then you'd go in and out, almost like you're in cyclical ketosis. That's a foundational element of the Bulletproof Diet. By the way, I should mention all the Bulletproof Diet is available for free. Not the whole book, but the roadmap that tells you how to do it. One page, you can print it out on your fridge. You can get that at bulletproofexec.com. Just search for roadmap and we send it to you. It's a very valuable, the whole skeleton of the book tells you what to eat when, including for intermittent fasting. And with intermittent fasting, what you do is you mimic this effect that would have happened when we were back in our hunter-gatherer time. And you finish dinner around 8 and you wake up the next morning and you don't eat anything until about 2 the next afternoon. So there's 18 hours a day when you don't eat anything. And when I was 300 pounds, the thought of that was abhorrent. It was horrifying because I would die, because that's how it felt. My body's energy regulation ability wasn't there. So even if I had breakfast by 11:30, I was kind of shaking and angry. And more than a few times I would end a meeting. I'd say, guys, I know it's 11:45, but I have to go now because I can't pay any attention. I'm too hungry. And I'm going to kill and eat one of you. So like, I'm out of here. And people sort of look at me like, I can't believe you just said that. I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here because like, I have to go. That's an unhealthy state. And I did not know the difference between a food craving and hunger. And I had taught myself, at least parts of my body, that hunger meant I was going to die. When you practice intermittent fasting, you get more comfortable with hunger, which calms the nervous system, surprisingly. But I find that intermittent fasting, especially women over 40, but all women, if they do it every day, it tends to cause hormonal irregularities, starting with adrenals and also going into the sex hormones. And for men, if they're exercising heavily and doing intermittent fasting at the same time, it's too much stress on the body. What you want is intense, brief bouts of stress so that you'll get stronger, followed by bouts of intense recovery so that you can benefit from the stress. So daily intermittent fasting by itself is an anti-aging strategy, but you might be getting too much of it. So I recommend doing that a couple times a week. And there is an upgrade to that. There's something that I created and sort of stumbled across and noticed and started replicating, and it's called Bulletproof Intermittent Fasting. And with this, instead of eating nothing for breakfast when you wake up, you have bulletproof coffee made only with brain octane and butter. And of course, well, the bulletproof coffee beans. But you put no sugar, no milk, no protein. You don't have M&Ms, nothing. And what happens then is you've put some energy into the body, this special kind of fat from brain octane that the body can convert to energy. So you don't get the energy crash and you don't get the hunger that you would come to expect from intermittent fasting. What you don't get, though, is you don't get a rise in insulin that comes when you eat protein or when you eat sugar or any kind of carbohydrate. So your body maintains stable insulin levels, even though you just had a source of energy. So now you sail through the morning. You just don't care about food. It's profound and dramatic. What a difference a tablespoon of brain octane, tablespoon of grass-fed butter. It's a couple hundred calories. So you still have the energy to power through your day, to, you know, get your kids up, get them ready, go to work, and still be okay by lunchtime. Because what I found when I did regular, plain, run-of-the-mill intermittent fasting is that, look, I'm a dad. I have two young kids. I have a demanding career. And around 11:30, I'd get hangry. And it would happen every day, but it's like, okay, my energy just dipped. I can power through this. I know I could do it. But I actually wanted to be fully turned on. I wanted to have all my energy. I didn't want to be cranky. And so I found that doing the bulletproof intermittent fasting was an upgrade to that. So now some days I have nothing in the morning. Other days I have bulletproof coffee in the morning. And that has been a game changer for me. As long as I get some ketones via one of those two methods, my quality of life is much higher. My metabolism runs better. And it just makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not hungry until 2 o'clock. Doesn't even enter into the equation, which allows for greater thinking, more production, and doing the things that I love to do in my chiropractic office.
I had a client in the UK, and she had such bad food cravings and just felt guilty about them. And she was a little overweight. So her solution was, I'm just going to remove all food from my house because I know I'll eat it. Her cupboards were bare. And that way, if she wanted to eat, she lived in London, she would just go outside and walk down the street to the grocery store and buy some food. So that was her way of limiting her hunger because it was just overpowering. And in the office, she had a little map in her head of all of the people who had a bowl of candy in their drawers. So she could go around the office and constantly get little bits of candy. And by the way, every obese person here knows that they know at least one place where there's a bowl of candy. There's always the overweight receptionist with that giant bowl there. And like, well, there's a reason all that sugar. But she did this because she did not have control of that part of her biology. The cravings were running things. And the first day she tried bulletproof coffee, she called me and was like, oh my God, I went all morning without eating any candy. Like, this has never happened in my adult life. I don't even know what to say. And that's the power of ketones. You get that brain octane in there, and all of a sudden, I've maybe 1,000 times this morning I've thought about lunch. Every time someone walked by with a bagel, I got a signal in my brain, or a donut. It's like, eat it. And you're like, no, I'm not going to eat it. Well, that sucks up your willpower. And when you get the food right, just like you are right now, because you did that this morning, Mike, someone can walk in front of you with, you know, the most amazing looking apple fritter. And instead of smelling going, oh, I wish I could have that, you're like, I'm just not hungry, thanks. And you just don't have the impulse to eat it. And it's such a change in life to have that. I'm grateful for that. I still have stretch marks, right? Like I'm not free of having weighed 300 pounds, but psychologically and hormonally, I'm totally done with that.
It is absolutely amazing. And, you know, before as a chiropractor, I was an exercise physiologist, and the joke in our house is we carved up for the big race. And, you know, I got up to 300 pounds. So, you know, that was going to be a really long race that I was running. So today doing this has really helped to stabilize my blood sugar, my triglycerides. Like, I'm eating fat, I'm eating ketones, and my cholesterol and all them markers are the best they've ever been.
How long have you been on bulletproof coffee now?
I want to say it's probably 3 years.
Oh, so you were an early adopter.
Yeah, I love being an early adopter.
And did your cholesterol go up?
No, it all went down. Everything went down. So I was thrilled. I have a good friend that's a medical doctor, and he's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Because he saw me at 300 pounds, and he said, "You know, if you were the normal patient, I would tell you you're going to have a lifetime of blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication." He goes, "But I know you better. You will take care of this, correct?" I said, "Absolutely." So from that point forward, the weight's come off and stayed off.
From an anti-aging perspective, my goal with my blood lipids and all, when I started doing the Bulletproof Diet and I did the experimenting that went up to writing the book, it was a little bit scary. Like, no one would eat butter this way. There was one guy from the Quantified Self movement who has since passed away, who did some higher butter and confirmed it worked better. And I looked at all the studies. I looked at the Weston A. Price research, which is a body of research from a cultural anthropologist who went around many years ago and looked at what happens when people eat their traditional diet versus processed foods and all. And I said, all right, I'm going to try this. And I ate 8 tablespoons of butter every morning for almost 2 years in my Bulletproof coffee. I intentionally ate more calories than made sense. I was trying to gain weight even though I'd been fat, but I was trying to do it by eating fat. And my goal was, you know, I finally learned that calorie is not a calorie. Counting calories is just a way to increase cravings, because if you eat a calorie of sugar, it makes you hungry. You eat a calorie of fat, it makes you full. They are not the same thing. And that kind of thinking that calories are the only thing that's important leads to obesity and cravings, and it makes people tired and weak all the time. So I figured I was going to eat enough calories to gain like 20 pounds a month, and I would only gain like 3 pounds, and then I could write a post and see, like, there's something different. It's not just the calories. What happened was I felt so good that I kept doing this for almost 2 years. And I grew a 6-pack during that time, eating between 4,000 and 4,500 calories a day. And, you know, all the calories in, calories out, like the 1980s nutrition thinkers, like, that can't be. That's not possible. I'm like, well, it just happened. And so I looked at that, though, and I thought, well, am I going to die? Right? Everything that we've been told is that butter is deadly. That is cultural baggage. That was told to us in the 1950s by companies trying to sell us seed oil, doing really bad science. And it was a smear campaign that got into our psyche. So I'm an anti-aging guy. What am I going to do? I'm going to get my blood lipids. I'm going to get all my inflammation markers. And after many years of conquering chronic illness, including this toxic mold exposure and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and all those things, I'll tell you, what matters most is inflammation. And when you talk to the leading anti-aging guys, it's all about inflammation and turning that off. Ketosis turns off many kinds of inflammation. And so do some herbs, and so do some diets, and so do avoiding some foods that cause inflammation in people, which is why on the Bulletproof Diet, there's a whole set of foods, they're suspect foods, they cause inflammation, maybe in you, maybe not. So I did all these things, but I added in the butter, and I looked at my inflammation markers. And the predicted results for doing this are what I found in myself. And I found that my cholesterol rose a little bit and then dropped, my LDL cholesterol, but my HDL, the good stuff, skyrocketed. My triglycerides dropped, which is what you want them to do. And that happens when you stop eating fructose in meaningful amounts. And the important ones, the C-reactive protein, homocysteine, and LPPLA2, these are the markers of inflammation that will kill you and is associated with all of the bad cardio things. Those things cratered. They went through the floor. And over the past 6 or so years, anytime they've gone up, it's like, oh, I have an injury. Like, they're supposed to go up when you're injured. And if they do go up, you can then say something's wrong in my lifestyle. Like, I have a parasite or something's not right, and you can address that. But I do see some people who go on Bulletproof Diet and their LDL goes up, but their inflammation goes down and all the other things go down. And so my gold standard is, how do we manage inflammation? If you want to live a long time, keep inflammation managed. This isn't well known, but your cholesterol is a substrate for all of your hormones. You want to stay young a long time? Have enough testosterone. I took anti-aging doses of testosterone for 8 years, starting in my mid-20s, because I stopped making it. I was so fat. Well, I'm off of testosterone, and my body naturally makes enough testosterone for me to be healthy. Like, it makes a normal, in fact, a slightly high normal amount because I eat egg yolks, because I eat butter, because I eat grass-fed meat, and because I don't eat industrial meat, and because I don't eat vegetable oils and things like that. So I would say if people decide to go on a higher fat diet like the Bulletproof diet, get your inflammation markers, get your cholesterol, get your blood lipids before you do it. These are important for you to manage every year for the rest of your life anyway, if you want to live to 180, like my stated goal. So you might as well start tracking that and see what your diet does. And if you go on the Bulletproof diet and if you find that your inflammation goes up and you find your fats go up, that's atypical, but there's a reason. And then we start looking at your methylation pathways, which is how your body deals with certain B vitamins and certain toxins. And we start looking at, are you allergic to nightshade vegetables? Are you still eating red peppers? Maybe they're just fine for you, but 1 in 5 people get chronic inflammation and obesity from eating red peppers, eggplants, potatoes, and things like that. And if you don't know it and you're eating something from that family every day, just expect to be fat and sore all the time. And that's the state of your life. That's why there's all these suspect foods. Like, you got to know, is that good for your biology? Is it compatible with your system? If so, eat it. If not, it's okay to say no.
Dave, one of the best compliments I've ever received was from my son, Jack, who's 11 years old. And we were talking about, what do you do, Dad? What do you do? And I said, oh, I help sick people get well, and I help healthy people stay healthy. And he said, yeah, but you're a hacker. You hack everything in your life. And I thought of you, Dave. I was like, that's like the ultimate compliment. And I tell everybody about that. I just thought it was wonderful. And you lead the charge. So let me ask you another question. Are there any like super exciting innovations you're seeing in longevity and anti-aging right now?
Right now, we are on the cusp of understanding light and the body. It's not well understood. Your cells, in the process of making ATP, actually make something called a biophoton. And I'm reminded of something that I did, I think it was my sophomore year of college. This is going back more than 20 something years. I bought an 8-inch long iguana, and his name was Skippy. And within a year, 2 years, he was 4 feet long, and he'd sit on my shoulder like a parrot, and he was this really cool lizard. And the reason I'm talking about Skippy is that Skippy would die if he didn't have the right spectrum light shining on him. So you had to have special lizard light bulbs. And if you put an incandescent light in there, they'd be warm, but then 6 months later, they'd be dead. Now, we are not that far removed from lizards and amphibians. In fact, if you look at our embryological development, you see the time when we have gills and a tail, and we kind of go through all these things. Yet we have evolved into this society where we spend most of our time indoors, we wear clothes, and we actually hide our bodies from ultraviolet light. We put chemicals on our skin to prevent that. We wear sunglasses. And just in the last 3 years, we have changed our lighting from incandescent into these absolutely cancer-causing, harmful compact fluorescent bulbs. And because no one likes those, now everyone switched to LED lighting. And LED lighting suppresses melatonin 4 times more than incandescent lighting. So if you are sitting under an LED light or reading under one before bed, you are going to mess with this vital anti-aging hormone. We're also realizing that exposure to blue light, which is what LED lights make the most of, this is something that causes a change in the way our cells make energy. It ties back to mitochondria. So you expose your body to lots and lots of blue light, and you don't get any ultraviolet light from the sun, and you don't get any meaningful amounts of bright white light during the day, and you get too much of it at night. This will trigger chronic illness. It will contribute to type 2 diabetes. It will contribute to cancer, very specifically to cancer. So I believe that we're on the cusp of just recognizing, oh my God, the quality of our light is no more or less important than the quality of our food. In other words, if you eat a perfect diet and you sit underneath a crappy compact fluorescent light bulb, you will not be anywhere near optimal performance. If you eat a junk food diet and you sit underneath the natural sunlight, you're still going to feel like crap. But we've got to line up air quality, light quality, and food quality as being of equivalent importance. Oh, and I should say water quality in there as well. And when you look at that list, what have I just described? I have described controlling the environment around you so you have full control of your biology. That's biohacking. And in anti-aging medicine, this rising understanding that, wow, you can use a cold laser to stimulate cardiac function, to grow back thyroid, to turn on the brain. Yeah, this is happening. And it's just now really, I think, hitting the dawning of awareness. And I look forward to 5 or 10 years from now, where we've actually engineered lighting systems in our buildings, and particularly in our homes and our bedrooms, so that they're compatible with our biology instead of actively harming our biology like they are now.
So is there anything else that people can do with this blue light stuff?
Well, I didn't think about this when I started talking about it, but I am going to talk about a bulletproof product. This wasn't a carefully planned pitch. I make something that is on my iPhone and my iPad and my laptop right now. It's called the ZenTech screen protector, and it's a thin screen protector. But what it does is it filters out the narrow spectrum of blue light that most suppresses melatonin. I use my cell phone in airplane mode only at night as an alarm clock, because it monitors my sleep quality and it wakes me up when I'm already at the top of a sleep cycle. So I get a better night's rest from doing that. I will tell you, never sleep with a cell phone that's not in airplane mode. That's just bad for your sleep on multiple levels. But I know then I look at my alarm clock to set it before I go to bed. And most people check Facebook or email or whatever before they go to bed, even though they know they're not supposed to. They do it anyway. So I put this on there because it reduces harm. It means if I look at my phone for a minute or two, it's not going to suppress my melatonin the way it would have had I not had a screen protector on it. That's called ZenTech. It's available on bulletproof.com. The other thing is, buy a dimmer switch. I have red LED light bulbs in the bathrooms instead of some blue glowy thing or white ones. And if you want to sleep better at night and you have kids, have a red nightlight in the bathroom and no nightlight in their bedroom. They'll sleep better when they wake up to go to the bathroom at night. They won't get awakened biologically by the wrong color of light. Red is better than amber, but amber works better than blue or green or yellow or something that's brighter. And that difference, oh my God, you'll sleep better if your kids sleep better. That's a huge sleep hack right there.
That is huge. And I can attest to that, having not slept for 5 years while our daughter Emma never slept through the night. So, and of course, that was when I was morbidly obese. So that really goes hand in hand.
Kids cause aging. It's proven.
She actually asked me, what is that white stuff on the side of your head? And I said, that's gray hair that you put there. So she had a laugh. No, I didn't, she said. So let me ask you a question, Dave. Who are some of your favorite experts in this space, and where can people go to learn here and read more?
Well, you can go to bulletproofexec.com, and there's probably 500,000 words on the website now, but it's carefully organized to be very easy, so you don't have to read all of them. Bulletproof Radio is a great source of knowledge. I interview some of the top experts, like Jeff Bland has been on, who's really the father of functional medicine as we know it today, and some other luminaries in the field. And that's all free. It's on iTunes, or you can get all the transcripts if you don't like to listen. Those are all free on bulletproofexec.com. Let's see. The Bulletproof Diet book hit the New York Times. Bulletproof the Cookbook is out, and a new book will come out in about another year. So if you follow the Bulletproof thing, I'll send you an email about it. We send a lot of emails with just content, no advertising stuff. I just want people to know all this. No one told me when I was a kid. If I had known this when I was 20, my life would be very different, and I wouldn't have like zebra stretch marks all over my butt. So, hey, I can give back. And then the people that I listen to, many of them I invite on Bulletproof Radio, but really recently, Mark Hyman has done some great things with Eat Fat, Get Thin. Just launched it. There's another guy who wrote, David Ludwig is his name. He must be a professor at Harvard Medical. He's at Harvard Medical and Boston Children's. And he just wrote Always Hungry. And these are major credentialed physicians who are echoing the advice that's in the Bulletproof Diet Roadmap. And when I say echoing, I mean like they've done their own research. They're not copying it, but they're in agreement with it. And I'm in agreement with their books. And I recommend their books to people who want to read more, because there is a large and existing and growing body of science that says eating much more fat than you have been will change your life as long as it's the right kind of fat and as long as the fat isn't damaged by heat or light or air. So the quality of the fat you eat changes your hormones. It changes everything. And most of these people who are writing these books who are well-credentialed physicians, they are doing it because they've also lost weight. They were doing what they were taught. They were over-exercising. They were eating vegetarian, low-fat diets, and they were losing their edge. They were aging more quickly. Their hormones were going down. Their inflammation was going up. They got the data. They became hackers. They measured what worked, and they found out that eating eggs was actually good for you. Stuff like that, it's profound. And for people listening right now, you're wasting your life if you have a bran muffin and a piece of low-fat toast for breakfast. You're running on half what you're capable of doing, and you're aging yourself more quickly. You're giving yourself a higher risk of diabetes. You're giving yourself a higher risk of cancer, and you're making yourself more emotionally volatile. So instead of having full control of your emotions, you don't have enough energy to control them. And if you're listening to this and you're doing the vegan diet thing, I've been a raw vegan, a very dedicated one. I can blend any kind of vegetable into any kind of flavor you want. I will tell you, no anti-aging physician that I know of supports vegan diets as being an anti-aging strategy. They simply don't work. There are a few people who can get away with them, especially young people. But if you look at what they do to your hair, to your thyroid, to your energy levels, you need to know it is a noble idea to think that, oh, you're not killing anything. But I tell you, all those vegetables you ate, they're eating dead animals. We are not at the top of the food cycle. We're right in the middle of it. And it is a cycle. And when we die and when animals die, we go back into the dirt and the plants eat us and then we eat them and we eat the animals that eat the plants. And if you're not doing some of that, at least getting eggs and butter, you will not function at the level you're capable of functioning. I wish it wasn't like that, but it is. And there's pretty good science there. And if you don't believe me, try it for 2 weeks and I dare you to go back.
Thank you, Dave. That was truly insightful hour that you took out of your day to be with us, and we really appreciate you sharing with our community. Folks, it is Dr. Mike Akinfora. You're listening to the Longevity and Anti-Aging Project, and have a great day. We'll see you soon. Ciao.